Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. We can be relocated. We can be bunkered in, bunkered down, or not, though. But we're not going to be silenced. 2019, January. Steve Quayle. Prepare. Prepare. Eight months later, that would be September of 2019, the accusations, legal accusations of loyal Christian audiences being disturbed, upset by fake news and the needless calls for preparation. What happens when we don't prepare? You can see it all across the screens, all across your computer screens, all across your television sets, empty shelves. How many people this week have gone to the store in search of whatever it might be? Maybe a pack of chicken. Maybe a package of ground beef. Maybe a loaf of bread, and found empty shelves. How many people have done that? I was talking to a widow who got a ride to the store, a local store here. And she went in, and she had not gone shopping for a couple of weeks. I'm not exactly sure of the time. And she contacted me and she said, "Can you help me? I can't believe what I'm seeing. Empty shelves. I thought they'd be restocked by now. I don't have any food." Well, we fixed that problem. My wife and I did. Yeah, yes. No, that's what we're supposed to do. But how many people are out there in that position? You know, when that happened, when I heard that, it hurt my heart. I don't know of any human that wouldn't affect. And I think back to Steve Quayle saying, "Hey, we've got to prepare. We've got to prepare. We've got to prepare." And, oh, by the way, our preparations helped that widow. There's a reason why we've been shouting from the rooftops, "Prepare, prepare." There it is. If I'm not mistaken, did I take that picture, Eric the Techer? Did you take that picture? Okay. I've got really dozens of pictures like that of our local stores. People are still in a panic mode. Panic is never good, never good. What really gets me, what really makes me angry is the fact that, you know, the people who hear the advice of to prepare and then they don't do it. Okay, that's fine. That's on them. I understand that. But when you have older people, that really bothers me. I mean, this woman is she's up there. Doesn't get around very well. And it brought tears to her eyes because she had no idea what to do. I mean, look, that was a gut punch to me. Say what you want about me, hate me. I don't care. I just don't. But what really, really gets me is how many people out there are shell-shocked, even today, long after this panic buying of toilet paper and hand sanitizer and anything that you could grab in the fights in the store. And the reason I take it personal, and I'm not going to talk for Steve. The reason I take it personal is because when I read in legal papers saying that Doug Hagman, Steve Quayle, they are fear mongers. They're trying to profit off of your fears. And then I get a call. Jenny. She said I could use her first name because I said, I want to talk. I really want to tell people about this. She said, yeah, go ahead. Not quite like that, but you get the idea. Is the time for preparing over? Do we still have time to prepare? I know we do. Kinda, sorta. Headlines. Earlier today on Drudge, half of New Yorkers will get infected. China bars entry to foreigners. Oh, but when we do it, how dare us? When we do it, for the love of God, are we the racist mothers ever, right? And don't you dare call this Communist Chinese Party virus. Might make the communists look bad. I'm pissed off. You know, I really am. I'm pissed off because it's personal. I'm pissed off because we're being lied to. And by the way, if that offends you, then stop right now. If that's what offends you about all this, my language, my use of that word, then you know what? Stop inconveniencing electrons. Don't email me. Until you've taken food to someone who is in tears and has nothing, then don't talk to me. And if you have, God bless you. And by the way, that's nothing big. Okay, that's not something worthy of sainthood. That's just doing the right thing. And for doing the right thing, I watch Steve Quayle, I watch Bob Griswold, I watch others get hammered by lunatics, by leftist morons, saying that we have been fear-mongering and profiting from fear and doom porn and fear porn and whatever other porn you can get in there. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I hope to God that one day to you, and you know who I'm talking to, that you yourself experience what Jenny experienced. It's one of these days where I'm looking to, I don't know where to find. I got my resignation typed out. I don't, it's here somewhere. Eric the Tech, where do I go? Who do I submit it to? Silence. He's not even talking to me. We're broadcasting from my home office, by the way. Left hand, other side, right? On your screen, you can see my stack of coffee. Need the coffee. I need the bean. I need the bean, by the way. Shipments of coffee, 100%. We were able to talk to the roaster and get that all worked out. The shipments are still coming in, fresh coffee beans, so get yours while you still can. And I mean while you still can. Because tomorrow, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And the reason I'm taking this time as this introduction is because I don't intend to interrupt my two guests. And really, they're not guests. They are an integral part of this program. But by saying so, I guess I expose them to some legal, you know, issues. I don't want to do that. So I'll just say they're guests. But you know, you and I know otherwise, right? Wink, wink. Bob Griswold's, I owe him a lot. You know why I owe him a lot? Because in my time of need, he came through for me. I've got body armor and night vision that I used on tactical operations this past summer with great success. I owe Steve Quayle a lot too, for more reasons than I can list. But I just want to deliver this message. You think it's going to get better? I don't think it's going to get better. I don't. Oh, it's like putting lipstick on a pig, as they say. Well, frankly, I think we're looking at some very, very difficult times ahead, more so than we've seen already. They're letting people out of prisons. You know, I've been to Rikers. I've been inside Attica. Not as a prisoner, but to interview prisoners. Rikers. And let me tell you something. Start releasing prisoners, you're going to have more problems than I can list. I'm not too keen on some of the guards either. Just saying. All right. I'm not going to ramble on anymore, but just understand this. I'm angry. I'm angry because we, Steve and I, Bob Griswold, have been really, not me. I mean, Steve and Bob, just really taken the task. And you know by who? By Christians. A lot is professed Christians. And no, I'm not talking about troll comments or, you know, emails that say, well, you know, no, I'm talking about actions that cost us tens and tens and tens of thousands of dollars to fight. Why? Because we dare tell people to prepare. But you know what? I'd after seeing the look on Jenny's face, I don't care. So with my inability to submit my resignation, I'm just going to turn it over to Steve Quayle. Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. Q-Files 2.0. If you're not watching the Q-Files 2.0, if you're not a member of Steve's Q-Files, I'm going to tell you right now. I'll tell you right now, you're missing the boat. You need, personally, I don't know what I would do if Steve suddenly went offline in the Q-Files 2.0. Do me a favor. Sign up for it. His content is second to none. There it is right there on your screen. And, oh, if you are into preparation, as you should be, there's only one person the ultimate professional on multiple levels with multiple things, Bob Griswold. There it is on your screen, ready-made resources. That night vision, by the way, yeah, it's going to cost you a few pennies, not more than that. But I'm going to tell you something. I guarantee you it provides a whole different platform. All right. I'm going to shut up now. Steve, how you doing?
Good, Doug. And I think it's a literal blessing that you're talking about this because, ladies and gentlemen, we're out of time. We're out of excuses. I was just looking at an article that naturally it's a Jewish article from the Jerusalem Post. Why do some Christians believe coronavirus is an apocalyptic prophecy? Well, ladies and gentlemen, for the first time in history, this disease has gone worldwide. It has the markers of a bioweapon. And Doug, as furious as you are, I'm even more furious at the Mickey Mouse meow men and the dumb denialists who are going to die, by the way. You're going to die if you deny that this thing is a bioweapon. The white papers that the Chinese published in 1999, Dave Hodges has laid it out. The absolute use of the biological terror weapons that they have been designing for the last 20 years are absolutely designed to strike fear, number one, into the hearts of the people of the world and kill off a whole bunch of people. Doug, I believe that the number of dead in China alone is in the tens of millions. 21 million cell phone users aren't online anymore, and what, 657,000? Bob can address China because I know, you know, he's got a better handle on China. But listen, when we're talking about 50 crematoriums able to...
Steve, we lost you, obviously. You can't hear me? All right, Bob Griswold's having issues as well. Gee, isn't that something? Yeah, that's all right. So just yell when we have somebody. Meanwhile, we're looking at jobless claims right now, hitting a record 3.3 million. What's going to, and I'll just say it like it is. From everything I've seen, the Great Depression is going to look like a footnote in history compared to what is coming. All right, in terms of the damage to the economy. And remember, I have said, regardless of what it is, the again, I will say this. Now, this does not indict Asians. It's not an indictment of all Asian people. I want to reaffirm this. This is Communist China Party. Communist China Party virus. Epoch Times, I believe, coined that phrase. And they ought to know. So, but anyway, the tests, the number of tests that we're seeing here in America today, really not, it's not what it should be in terms of the number. So we really cannot get in my view, an accurate case fatality rate number. We don't know. Like I said, Eric, just yell in my ear. We don't know what the morbidity rate, the lethality rate of this virus is. We really don't know. We can speculate given the numbers from other countries and given the subjects who have or patients who have been tested and the results. So if you were given a test, but again, even without testing the lot, then that's the numbers are still skewed. All right. And then what Steve said before he was cut off, is the fact that, this being a bioweapon, I saw a couple of comments on our comment section on YouTube. Well, you don't know it's a bioweapon. Okay. You know, I've walked into crime scenes, a few. When I've consulted on crime scenes. And look, I don't know. You walk in and there's blood spatter, high velocity blood spatter on the walls. There's medium cast off or medium spatter, I should say, on the walls and on the floor and the ceiling. I do know this. Something bad happened there. Really bad. Now, without any further knowledge than just the view, that looks like a high velocity blood spatter. To me, okay, it appears that was caused by an object, and based on the pattern of that, most likely a gun of some kind. Could it be another object? Could it be a hammer? Maybe. Possibly. But given the pattern, although I don't know at this point. There's no body there. It's been removed. Pretend there's no other police or any. No, detectives, nothing. You just walk in. What happened here? Well, I can tell you, again, something bad happened. And obviously, it was an inside joke. But that aside, you could tell that there was, you know, most likely a death given the volume of blood and other obvious evidence. You don't know if it's one or two people or, you know, one or more people. But again, looking at just the evidence that we can see, we can derive certain, not conclusions, but evidence to suggest what happened. And I would submit that's where we're at right now. All right. We do have, Steve and, hopefully Bob Griswold back. Steve, you got cut off, brother. And, why am I not surprised?
Well, obviously when I start talking about bioweapon, and for those who are just nothing but naysayers, slanders, character assassinations, nobody brought out a more detailed, discussion on talk radio and at some of the True Legends conferences than I did on polymerase chain reaction. Nor did they bring out any earlier than I did the CRISPR technology, gene editing. The late Kerry Mullis, who passed away, unfortunately, shared the Nobel Prize for biochemistry with another gentleman. So I think that what's problematic, Doug, is that when I got cut off, by the way, a Jerusalem Post is saying, why do most Christians believe it's apocalyptic? Then they go on, it being coronavirus or the locust plagues, or the water turning to blood, or the earthquakes, or the volcanoes. Listen, we're up against AI programming. We're up against absolute haters of Jesus Christ. And I wouldn't expect the Jerusalem Post to validate the book of Revelation, which is a revelation of Jesus Christ that he gave to his servant John. Jesus said, I came, you receive me not, but another will come claiming to be him. And that's when they cut me off, by the way, when I made that statement. So we're at war, and I want to make, I don't know if you heard me, Doug, did I say this because I won't repeat myself. This is a bioweapon. I never denied it. There are in excess of 21 million cell phones in China, no longer active, 657,000 landlines. The indicators within the genome, and by the way, there's three bioweapons. There's now up to 40, according to the Icelandic scientists, I posted the story, 40 different strains of CV19. Then they don't even deal with Z1 or Z2. And I will say this, Z1 and Z2 are Z-end. So I'll give it over to Bob right now. But here's the deal. I'm rolling up the sleeves. The people that deny will die. The people who scorn will mourn. The people who are doing their best to shut down this message don't understand how many UN troops are in this country, don't understand bioweapons, don't understand this is a full-scale attack upon the United States. And, oh, do you think China won't kill 400 million of its own people? The political correctness of this country makes me want to freaking vomit. And if you come at me with a stupid, I just got a stupid email, yeah, it's really not that happening. Don't you know it's all fake? Don't you know you're going to die and rot a horrible death? I'll tell you this. Anybody in absence of all, or excuse me, that tries to dismiss all the evidence, you think the people with the portable morgues, oh, they didn't die. Oh, it's just the flu season. I know the history of communicable diseases. You don't have clustering of people dying on flu, never have, and yet the, I can't say that, the manure for brains people are absolutely more vocal than the Christians who are a bunch of wimps. By the way, Bob, I'll turn it over to you right now. In the hierarchy of the New World Order, do you know who the lowest on the totem pole is as far as contempt? It's Christians, because I saw it when it said they're wimps. Go ahead, Bob. Christians, they claim, are wimps. Well, I got to tell you this. Based on my emails, based on nameless entities, I can't argue with them. Go ahead, sir.
Well, you know, Steve, just as education has been compromised, the churches have been compromised. We have pastors today that are telling people they have to do whatever the government tells them to do. They don't teach the Bible. They don't teach the end times. So that, you know, Steve, I would ask a question. How do you have a framework of your faith if you don't understand how the game ends? That we have a savior who comes back and redeems this planet, that all the pain, the suffering, the disease, the war, the hatred, the racism, the abortion is put to an end. How do we understand? How are we supposed to stand in that day if we don't have a perspective of the eternal nature of God, his eternal plan of what he has for mankind? And it's just this happy-go-lucky, you know, Christianity that we ride the Kumbaya song all the way till we die, and we don't know what's going to happen to us after we die. We're not bold. We're told that we have to be, you know, very nice, loving people. We can't be like Jeremiah or the prophets of old that spoke with boldness to the people of God and said, this is what's happening. This is a judgment. This is not something that's just going on and it's going to be cyclical to the end of the age, until the universe ends. No, we are seeing birth pangs of this, the end of mankind's dominion of this planet. And so I want to encourage people, first of all, be bold in your faith. Don't shrink back. You know, preach the gospel every chance we have right now to share the gospel with Jesus Christ is a chance that we will never get again. And we, you know, some of us will enter eternity over this. I could enter eternity over this, this thing that's going on. And I know that when I do, I want my voice here today and tomorrow, if God gives it, to be a voice that calls people to have faith in Jesus Christ and to know that he is in charge. His providence is in charge of your life. I had a lady call me yesterday. Her name was Teresa, and she was crying. Her husband had passed away, and she felt all alone. And, you know, my goal in that thing was to encourage her that Jesus is in charge right now. It's not the coronavirus that's in charge. It's Jesus Christ that is in charge. And so I want to encourage people that the record of the scripture from Genesis to Revelation is that God cares for his people. And that's what I wanted to tell you. You know, we will walk through the fire, but we will not be burned, because in the end, we reach the celestial city. As Christian, in the book of Pilgrim's Progress, you know, along the way, there were diversions and sidetracks and obstacles, but our goal is that celestial city. So with that in mind, I just want to say for those naysayers and doubters out there, you know, we are seeing this thing explode in our face. And, you know, we see the supply chain disrupted. And I my prediction is about 2 weeks from now, we're going to see some severe supply chain problems. So, you know, I would encourage people right now. You know, there's a gentleman out there who teaches all over the country. His name is Lieutenant Colonel Grossman, and he has a book called The Bulletproof Mind. And what we're going to beginning to see is, first of all, people go into denial at first. That's the easy thing to do. You just deny that the circumstances are what they are. And so then you just, it makes it easy. It's not happening. The sky's not falling. You know, if you say the sky's falling, you disrupt their paradigm and they get mad at you and they scream and holler. But you add, Steve, it's just, is not an isolated incident. This, we see this, the fulfillment of biblical prophecy, the locust devouring food across the planet. We see the hatred, the war. We see the massive increase of persecution of Christian people. We see the rejection of every one of God's truths. You know, when it says that the earth was filled with violence in Noah's day, what it meant is that it's not only that people were beating each other up, but they were violent against God's law. They were violent against God's will for mankind. They reacted violently to it. And that's what we see today, mankind acting violently. Instead of the people of God standing up with boldness and courage, you know, the righteous are as bold as a lion. Instead of them standing up and saying these things and proclaiming that God is king in the land and that, you know, your soul, we snatch those that are headed towards death. We snatch them back from death. We take them out of the jaws of Satan by preaching the gospel and proclaiming the truth of the scripture, and that we are coming to the end of this age, and that Jesus is coming again, and that he is going to set up a millennial kingdom on this earth. You know, I did a search, just a survey of a lot of the churches in the area that I live, and they don't even know anything about the coming of Jesus. The confusion. I asked one gentleman, and he thought there was going to be this, you know, everybody was going to be at peace and everything was going to be good, and then Jesus was coming back. And I went, my gosh, what Bible are you reading? You know, it's not like that. So I want to encourage people to go to Lieutenant Colonel Grossman. It's a video called the Bulletproof Mind. And what we're going to see right now with the toilet paper, I mean, there's no reason for people to do what they're doing with toilet paper. You have a week's worth of food in your house and you're buying 9 months worth of toilet paper. That math equation doesn't add up. But what we're seeing is what he describes.
Only if you're a rear end.
Yeah. He describes what's going on. The frontal parts of your brain here is where our cognitive thinking says. It says, you know, I probably shouldn't go out and murder Steve or Doug because God wouldn't want me to. That's the part of the brain God gave us that creates reason, that we can live in a reasonable and rational manner. Then we have what he calls the caveman brain, the hunger brain. And that's when, you know, we're faced with circumstances that are outside of our control and we get afraid and then we revert to this caveman brain. A lot of soldiers face it in fight or flight. You know, that cognitive thinking stops. And so what we see here right now is people in a low level panic. And this is just a very, very low level panic. And what they're doing is they're following what he also calls it herd, like a herd of cows, herd brain. One does it, they all do it. One jumps off the cliff, they all do it. One goes out and buys a million rolls of toilet paper, they all do it. Without any rational thinking of a plan. See, it's the frontal part of our brain that God gave us that we can form a plan. We can reason through things. And what we're seeing there is a complete lack of reason, a denial. You know, how many Jewish people in Germany, oh, Hitler would never do that. I know he doesn't like us too much, but he would never do that. I know the Democrats don't like Christians very much, but they wouldn't send him to the gulags and chop their heads off. They wouldn't do that. Well, you know, Steve, I tell you, you know, history is filled with people. What did they say? Tombstone. Well, we can learn the lessons from those, the epitaphs written on tombstones. I didn't think so. It didn't happen. And we see history just filled with that of people who didn't think it would happen. They went into denial. And in the end, they were destroyed. Now, you know, God, I would say my life is in his providence and I will do what I can to die a noble death and die as an older man, having fulfilled the journey of faith that God has for me. But my life is in his providence. If today, tomorrow, or 10 years from now, 20 years from now. But what the thing is I want to die as Paul died. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. See, cowards can't fight that. In fact, if you go into the book of Revelation, you know, it says, Steve, that cowards will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who cower, those who are afraid, I can't mention the name of Jesus. It's offensive. You know, he said cowards don't go to heaven. I mean, I didn't make that up. He did. So what we need right now
is, Bob, they go into the lake of fire.
Yes.
They go into the lake of fire.
Yeah. So what we need right now is people that are stand up and say, this is our moment. This is not the church's weak moment. This is when the church shines. This is when the believers of Jesus Christ shine. When we say, we have the answer. I have the answer. You will die. My body, whether disease or old age, my body will pass away. But I have the answer. I have a new body prepared for me. A new heavens prepared for me. Jesus has gone and prepared a place for me. And that's what we need to do right now as God's people. Not be afraid, oh my gosh, I only have 10 rolls of toilet paper and I'll need 20. I don't have this, I don't have that. God will provide, as he provided for Jonah, as he provided for the widow, the Shunammite widow, I think it was, when Elijah came and every day there was more oil. He is going to provide for his people if we trust in him. As Psalm says, if we abide under the shadow of the Almighty, he will provide, he will cover us, he will take care of us. Even if we walk through the fires of death, he is going to see us to that other kingdom. Because, Steve, that is my goal. I'm going to have obstacles in this world. Jesus said you'll have tribulation. But my goal is to set, as Christian did in the Pilgrim's Progress, my goal is to set my eyes on that celestial city and to pursue that with every fiber of my being.
Well, I can't, Bob, disagree. I mean, that's it. But, you know, the early church, we're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God, obviously. The thing is, Abraham was always in motion. God was moving him, and he was moving him from someplace to somewhere, and that's the place of blessing. So, you know, I want to say something. I'm watching all the arguments against why this isn't the beginning of of great tribulations. You know what the number one argument against it is? Well, we know it can't be the great tribulation because the rapture hasn't happened yet. I came up with a new term, you guys, the rapturians, okay? The rapturians are people that will deny all the reality, deny where we're at, and it's based on the Manchurian candidate. With Manchurian, when someone says they're a Manchurian, that means they're brainwashed. How about seeking the Lord? God, is what I'm believing or been taught all my life, is it true? And Lord, how am I going to respond to this? Because Bob, what you just said, people are going to go to their pastors saying, but how can I eat? My kids are starving. You know what pastors will say? Well, just pray about it. And then the people are going to rip those guys literally out of the pulpit. I think there's a lot of pastors that are going to die. I'm not promoting violence. But when you see pastors in the Christian claimant world claiming that we've got to yield to Caesar under a misunderstanding of Romans 13, the book of Hebrews said we haven't withstood evil yet to the shedding of blood. And that means simply the witnessing. The Bible says that we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we love not our life unto death. And what that simply means is what Bob just said, everybody. Look, here's the deal. We're pleading with you. And Doug, did I understand you correctly that you're going to put your resignation in? Is that on Hagman and Hagman? Is that what you're toying with?
Steve, that was tongue-in-cheek. It was out of pure frustration. Because, because Steve, again, maybe you missed the intro to that. You know,
I did.
Okay, so January 2019, I went back, I looked at some show titles. You were saying prepare, prepare, prepare. We were saying prepare. Bob Griswold, 2019, this show, this platform, get prepared. Things are going to get bad. Various other dates. And yet what we get in return, and then I'm not talking about the denialist or the emails or the, you know, oh, you're making things up. No, I'm talking about the costly and time consuming, legal offensive against us for, doom porn, fake news and doom porn disguised as news. And this will never happen. This hasn't happened. This won't happen. And your loyal Christian audiences believe what you say, and it causes them great discomfort. And you've read it, Steve. I've read it. And that's what pisses me off. And that's why I thought, you know what? Why even bother at this point? Because, you know, how many more times, Steve and Bob, do we have to ring the alarm bell to say, please prepare? And very briefly, and then again, I'm going to shut up. I had an interaction with an elderly woman, a widow, late last evening. And after the show, in tears, no food, went to the store, thought they would be restocked. And she, it's no easy task for her to get to the store. And when she went there, she was like shell shocked that there's hardly anything here in terms of, you know, chicken or ground beef or anything like that. So that's why, or that's the context of I'm looking to submit my resignation. You know, I guess I'm going to die behind here, I guess. Look, I don't know. I'm frustrated. Brother, I'm frustrated.
Well, I understand. Here's the deal. The people that have accused us, and by the way, it's not tens of thousands of dollars, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars. And thank those of you who have helped us, especially those of you who have just gone overboard in your generosity. You know, Doug, I just got another bill from my lawyer yesterday. Of course, I get them emailed, and then I get them followed up. $10,000 one month, okay? And what people don't understand is this. And we found out some stuff. We found out some stuff that when it breaks, the people that think they can hide behind cover and being in cahoots with certain government agencies are going to be really having a hard time with that. That's not a threat. And Doug, and I don't know if you know this, Bob, but obviously Craig Sawyer, myself, Doug, and Russ Dizdar, by just a blogger, you know, a messianic blogger, accused us all of being satanic pedophiles and just said, sue me. Well, guess what? He got sued. And not only did he get sued, but the John and Jane Does, and those of you who posted that we should be hung, we should be murdered, we should be killed. Guess what? You made terrorist threats, and guess what? We're coming after you, too. Go ahead, Doug. I'm sorry. You know, the thing is, you know, here's the thing, Bob. You take Russ Dizdar, a man of God. Listen, he is on it. He's rescuing children that are being satanically abused, being murdered and eaten. And you got Craig Sawyer, you know, and you've got Doug and I, and I've been on talk radio for 25 years. And yet these guys basically, and it's a whole crew based in Alaska. And now, you know, we have to fight on another front. Listen, I believe it's a two-edged sword. The thing that people got to understand, you began to slaughter us with your swords, and that sword's going to fall on you. And Chicken Little, you're not exempt because you're out of the country. So I think, Bob, where we're at right now is that the fight and the war will be within the church. You see it. I just saw a Hillsong begging for money. Pastor Langford's on record, and I agree with him, that God will dry up the funds of these who have robbed his sheep, who have absolutely raped the sheep, and who continue to tell every one of the sheep, oh, don't worry about it. And then the clergy response teams, they're not going to be bringing in the sheep, or she's, they're going to be bringing in the sheep for the slaughter that lies beyond them. So address that, Bob, because look, you've seen it too. You see that constant denial of the truth. People, you know, you're on different forums and stuff, but what do you think is at the core of it? Is it unbelief? Is it AI? It could be all of them. Or is it just sheer hatred for Jesus? That's what I think it is. Go ahead.
Well, I think, Steve, you've addressed this many, many times. There's a human hatred where we hate things, and then there's a supernaturally driven hatred that Satan is behind it. And all hatred is really, you know, when we hate somebody, it's not a godly thing. It's not driven by the love of God. So, but what we're seeing right now is this absolutely inspired hatred against God's people. It's being inspired from the demonic forces from the realm that has been opened, and it's been opened because the Church of Jesus Christ has not, you know, guarded the doors. They've let the wolves in. The pastors have become wolves. The pastors sexually predator the sheep. They financially rob them. You know, I just wonder where all these faith preachers are at right now. Why aren't they at the hospital healing the coronavirus patients? No, they're afraid they're going to get it. They've canceled their healing sessions. They're in their houses in quarantine right now, you know, thinking they're going to enjoy their money. But the Bible says they stored up wealth for the last day, and it's going to rot in their hands, and they're going to stand before holy God naked and ashamed. And these people that come after God's people to persecute them and to destroy them, you know, there is one that they're going to have to stand before one day, and they will cower before him. In fact, it says they will cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them and hide them from his face, because you won't be able to hide from it. So, Steve, this is my message to the people that are listening right now that are God's people. We need to be bold. We don't need to shrink back. This is our moment. You know, the church can move when people have a fear of death, when people have a fear of things. We have a hope, and we are able to give them that hope that Jesus Christ came, died for their sin. You know, I Jonathan Edwards, the only thing I ever contributed to my salvation was the sin that made it necessary. Think on that for a second. That we had a Savior that gave everything. I did nothing, but he gave it all. He redeemed me. He loved me, even when I didn't love him. And you know, if he did it for me, he'll do it for anybody right now who's in these clutches of the fear of death, because there will be those. You know, I fear not my body. You know, I could die. And you know I will go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what, for these people who think they can come and cower us and intimidate us, got news for you. I have a bigger brother, and he's not going to let it happen. He is going to embolden us in these last days to stand strong and to preach the word. And, you know, just if we're thrown in the fire, just if we're whatever they do to us, God will give us the grace to walk through that, and we will enter the celestial city. And on that day, when they stand before him in judgment, when they have departed this body and they have departed this earth, and they stand before him and they realize what they have done, and they see the love that the Father bestows upon us, you know, is going to realize they have made an eternal, disastrous decision. This isn't something they can, you know, unlike what some parts of the Christian faith teach, you know, that where they can go to purgatory and, you know, burn it off for a couple billion years or whatever. This is forever. And we don't understand the word forever. You know, I was listening to Chuck Missler, and he was just with the perspective of eternity. He was saying that everybody goes to eternity at the same time. Because in eternity, there is no time. And so when we have that perspective that there's an eternal realm out there without beginning, without end, and that we are going to inhabit that realm, and those people that are doing this are going to suffer eternal destruction, this should embolden us, because we have the captain of our salvation on our side that is going to fill us with the Holy Spirit in these last days to do great works in his name. And we're going to see great things if the church, if the people of God that are called by his name will stand up and say, you know, I'm not going to be afraid of this. I'm going to walk in it. I'm going to be bold. We're going to see miraculous things happen to the redeemed of the Lord and those that he calls out by his name, while the world waxes worse and worse, while they go from one perversion to another, while they try to stimulate their pathetic bodies one more time by doing some other completely unnatural, depraved act and calling it normal. We're going to stand there with peace, confidence. As Timothy said, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And that's the thing. See, that word, a sound mind, in these days, we see people that have, there's a complete lack of a sound mind. They have an unsound mind. They run hither and to. They seek one thing after another. They try to change, you know, my mind, if I change sex, if I do that, whatever I do, it's something, you know, it's the product of an unsound mind. But for you, for I, and all those who love is appearing, he gives us a sound mind. He gives us a spirit of boldness, a spirit of power. That means the power of the Holy Spirit is working in our life, that we can speak those words of deliverance. You know, when I think of what God has given humanity, just consider this for one second. You know, when a man and woman get married, and in their union they produce a child, God has given them the ability to produce an eternal being. I mean, when you made Stephanie or Tyler, you know, in your relationship with your wife, you produced an eternal being. And you know, that the power, that kind of power God puts in us. And, you know, the devil takes that and we destroy it. We kill it. We, you know, sell it off. We chop it up. And for the greatest power God gave humanity to reproduce ourselves, Satan comes in and just absolutely corrupts it. And that's what we see. And there's going to be this demarcation for the people who want to walk the gray line in the middle to say, you know, I don't want to be persecuted. I don't want to be looked as one of those. You know, I imagine right now, Steve, there's a lot of people that are out there going, ah, those preppers, what a bunch of idiots. I'd rather go to France. I'm going to take that 10 grand and go to France. What do you mean buy food? Yeah, I bet you they look back and rue the day they went to France or wherever they went, whatever vacation spot they picked. And now wish they had bought food, because, Steve, as you know, as I know, there is no food left in the supply chain. We've stopped taking orders for food because just so we can fill the ones we have. I don't want to take any more. That supply chain is gone. And so we want to make sure that the people who have ordered it get it. I don't want to take any more because doing it represents a little bit more human wealth. I don't need that, you know. But so these people that have mocked and mocked and mocked, you know, now they're starting to wish they hadn't mocked. You know, somebody said preppers are the new geniuses. Now, I would say the Christians who were led by God and moved in holy fear. So I'm a fear porn. I promote fear porn, Steve. I promote the fear of God, and it's not porn, but I that's the kind of fear I promote. Fear God. Honor him. Look to him. And if you do that, there's example after example in the scripture of why we should act as Noah, why we should act as Lot did, why we should act as Joseph did. You know, when God led Abraham, get out of your country, move. If a couple months ago, if you said, you know, the Lord's leading me to leave New York City and to move into some remote part of the country, and I'm going to just pack up everything, quit my job and do that, people would have looked at you and laughed and mocked you to death. You're leaving a $250,000 a year job to go and make somewhere where they have nothing, and you're going to live in the middle of the woods in a cabin? What's wrong with you? Have you gone insane? Well, today, with the perspective of the times in which we live, That makes total sense. And, you know, that's what the Bible gives us, that perspective. And if we don't have the perspective of the end, if we don't have the perspective of the beginning, and we don't have those two perspectives, you know, that we see the beginning and the end, how are we supposed to make reasonable judgment? How are we supposed to make godly judgment? And today, Genesis is mocked and Revelation is mocked. Gee, I wonder why, Steve.
Well, we're at this time now, for such a time as this, ladies and gentlemen. And again, I made the statement, I stand by it 25 years ago. The Lord said, Steve, the majority of my people will not believe they're in tribulation till they finally understand it's coming against them and they're in the middle of it. You know, here's where my heart is for everybody. I don't want any to perish. I don't want any to be lost. And I don't want any to basically starve. And Doug, you know, you talked about the woman that, you know, what am I going to do? That will be the number one question by my guess. Look, I'm not trying to number the people of God, but that will be the number one question by 95% of the Christians that fail to take the example of Noah, the example of Joseph, the example of the woman who sent her little boy out with the loaves of bread and fishes, who Jesus multiplied that, the widow of Zarephath, that those who prepped. And I want to say something, and I think I told you this, Bob, too, when we talked. I said, God said, Steve, do not tell my people to prep without telling them to prepare to overcome, because it's overcoming. And somebody says, well, I don't have to overcome anything. I'm out of here. Ha, 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 quail. You're going to go through it. I said, I can't tell you what I said. I didn't say anything obscene, but I wrote him back and said, what happens if God keeps me alive and you die in your denial and you never did anything? When I asked him that, Bob, you know what they said? It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And then I quoted the same scripture you quoted. The fearful, the cowards, and the unbelieving all go into the lake of fire.
Steve,
the parable. Go ahead.
You know, I, you know, those people, you know, we live by faith, not by works, all those things, even though the scripture says faith that works is dead. I look at the work of Noah. Think for 1 minute. Here's a guy who lived in a world that had never rained. And he's heard the voice of God telling him to build an ark, you know, to prepare his family. It took over 100 years to build that ark. I would say that the building of the ark, other than the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, is possibly the greatest act of faith in the Bible. It's the greatest act of faith, but it took tremendous human effort, human logistics, planning. Do you think Noah just started getting 2x4s and nailing them together? No, he drew schematics, plans of what God had. He had an understanding of what to do. And then for 100 years, he labored. So, you know, and I'm sure during that whole 100 years, people were saying, what can he be storing food in that? What's he building over there? He's putting food aside. He's what, animals? What, I mean, all the mockery that they probably heaped, and I won't use the word heaped, on Noah. Laughing, scorning, you know, just everything. And, you know, when that door was closed and the rain started coming, which they'd never seen before, and all of a sudden, you know, they were up to their knees in water, then they were up to their waist, and then they were up to their, you know, shoulders, and then, you know, they stopped mocking. And we see today people are stopping mocking. Now, I want to address someone and be very delicate here. When you listen to Grossman, when people go into this caveman brain, you're going to have to deal with them. Now, each person is going to have to decide how they're going to deal with them, because they will not be thinking rationally. So each person has to prayerfully consider what they're going to do. If God lays it on your heart to give food to people, so be it. If God, you only have so much, like the widows in the Bible, the ten virgins, and five of them were five, and five of them were foolish, and the five that were wise said, no, you can't have any of ours because we need to feed our family. You're going to deal with people that are just very, very unruly. I would even suggest to people right now to start looking at your food supply and thinking where you could maybe put alternate locations to it, because I don't put it beyond the government to say, you know, if you turn in your neighbor who has food, we'll give you some of it. They'll be using all kinds of compliant techniques like that. And also that you're going to be faced with people who come to you, and if you don't have anything, and they're going to be down in that caveman brain, that herd brain that Lieutenant Colonel Grossman talks about. And you're going to have to decide, because they will violently attack you and they will injure you. And you're going to have to decide what you're going to do. Now, for those of you who would say, I would never hurt another human being, I would just say this. I look at Abraham. You know, Abraham, when his nephew Lot was kidnapped, went into the deepest, darkest bowels of the enemy's camp with the men of valor, and they absolutely slaughtered them. I love the word the King James uses. It uses slaughter. And his sword was dripping from blood, with blood from coming back from the slaughter of the kings. And who meets him? The Prince of Peace, the Prince of Salem, you know, the Prince of Righteousness. Now, we don't, you know, some people think Melchizedek was a Christophany. I do. I think that's him, a pre-incarnate Christ before he came to this earth as a savior. But whoever it was, he was met by a very, very righteous man. And why did that righteous man take that time in Abraham's life when he had just slaughtered all those people to come and reward and honor him? That's my take on it. And for those of you right now who are in denial that this is going to go further, you know, as the saying goes, you're 72 hours from anarchy, 9 meals from anarchy. And so, you know, there's going to be some tough decisions people have to make in these coming days, of what you're going to do to protect your family. Because I will tell you, all you have to do is look at ISIS or these other groups. When they went into the Christians' thing to rob them or whatever, you know, they not only robbed them of their material possessions, they robbed them of their female possessions. And took them, and we all know the story of what happened there. So, you know, if this thing progresses to get worse, and in 2 weeks the supply chain does dry up, there's going to be very much desperate people. If they go into herd brain for toilet paper, which is totally irrational, what are they going to do when they can't get their Big Mac? What are they going to do when they can't get, I mean, like that one guy who was trying to buy 520 cans or so of Mountain Dew, and they said he couldn't take all those, so they just became quasi-violent. You know, over Mountain Dew. It kind of looks like some people could go without some Mountain Dew for a while. But if they're doing that now, you better start thinking in your mind, preparing your mind, as Grossman talks about in that video, The Bulletproof Mind. You better start preparing your mind now how you're going to respond to those types of people. Because they're not going to be pleasant.
And Bob, if I can just ask a question here. So I get this correctly. You're referencing, with respect to the Bulletproof Mind, on YouTube, there is a 3-hour and 20-minute presentation by a retired Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman, Cannon Air Force Base, New Mexico, titled The Bulletproof Mind. That was recorded on September 11th, 2015. Now, there are other shorter, smaller, segmented videos or interviews, but is that the video free to view that you're referencing?
Yes, it is. Okay. He talks a lot about law enforcement and military face this more than the average civilian does, because the average civilian is not interjected into situations where there's high stress, drama, violence, you know, all that. And law enforcement and a lot of military personnel are subjected to that on a daily basis. Law enforcement personnel especially, Sunday night, when the beer money's run out, that's when the domestic disputes happen, and they've got to interject themselves in it. And you're dealing with people who have maybe are not in a rational mind. So yes, he does an excellent job. He speaks to law enforcement and military all over the country, I think the world, a very, very good speaker. And, you know, it's a long video. You might do it in segments, but he does talk about this type of hive mind, herd mind, whatever you want to call it, caveman brain. I think this is him, so I don't want to quote him directly, but I think it is, but where the brain goes down to ugh, sex, food. That's what it reverts to. It goes back to the basics of what, you know, drives primal humanity. And when you see people doing that, we see it right now with the toilet paper craze. I mean, it's totally irrational.
Okay. And a follow up question, if I may, and this is to you, Bob, and then to Steve, and then you guys can continue. The way I see things, you know, happening right now is we used to kind of laugh, poke fun at the Black Friday videos of people, you know, fighting over toys, for example, or TV sets or whatever it might be. I expect to see these Black Friday events happening every hour, every day, every city, everywhere in the coming days. That's my this is my projected view of things because of the disruptions. You're not going to be able to get food, and I don't want to put fear in anyone's. This is not fear. This is just reality. Because God is in control. I get that. So, I guess my question to all of that, prefacing my question is, do we still have time? Do we still have time to prepare?
Can I address that? You know, right now we have a small window of time. You know, but I think of a sermon by one of the great Puritan preachers, Richard Baxter, and he talks about the saints' everlasting rest. And, you know, he talks about those that dawdle outside the door to the kingdom. They can see in the kingdom, but they dawdle out there. You know, just looking in, peering in, you know, saying chat to the people that have gone across, but they never do go in. You know, those souls on Judgment Day that have dawdled at the kingdom offer, eternal life, forgiveness of sins, how horrible it will be for them. And I would say this, for those who've said, you know, I can't be one of those who store food. I can't be one of those that does this because people will make fun of me if they come into my house. You're dawdling in the face of disaster. That's what you're doing. You know, we've tried to do things. I mean, at this point, I just sort of wish the business would go away. I mean, I don't need anything else. We're just trying to keep up, fill the orders we have. And there's very few things we can offer people. If you can still find food, I would tell you to go to my competitor and buy it if he has it, because nobody has it. So at that point, I would be going to the grocery store and stocking up on, you know, rice, beans, if I can find canned meats, if I can find things of that way, maybe put some psychological foods in there for your children. I would probably say don't spend your money on Mountain Dew. Spend it on something more important that's more nutritional than Mountain Dew. I literally was at the store the other day, and I took a picture of it, of a lady that was extremely obese, and she had her shopping cart filled with toilet paper and Mountain Dew. That's all. And I just looked at that and I went,
it may be, hey, Bob, maybe these people don't want Mountain Dew because they don't understand it'll turn into mountain poo. Okay.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
Why they're buying all the toilet paper.
I mean, the guy buying all the cans of Mountain. I mean, right now we still do. There's still food available. But again, let's keep this in a bigger perspective than just this immediate threat of this disease. We see the locusts. We see the earthquakes. We see the volcanoes. We see the persecution of Christians. We see the hatred of Jesus. We see the racial hatred going. We see the war that has gone on. More people died in war in the 20th century than in all the other wars of mankind. Like I said, I could be forgiven for thinking that, wow, the Bible prophecy has been fulfilled. And you know what it says? And we have to understand it correctly. It says, when the gospel of the kingdom has been preached to the whole world, then the end shall come. Now, Steve, from what I understand, that doesn't mean the return of Jesus. That means that end period of what we call great tribulation. That is when it comes. The gospel has been preached to the entire world. That doesn't mean it has to be preached to every single person, but every single people group on the planet have access to the gospel today. So we have approached this period called the end. And that's what it means is the end of mankind's disastrous, self, you know, absorbed rule of this planet where it's dog after dog eat dog, you know, root little pig or die. All those things that, you know, mankind has perpetrated on this planet is about to come to a cataclysmic end. And so, yes, as Noah, as Joseph, if you can still find food, I would buy it. General rule number one is if you don't have water, don't eat food, you will die quicker. And so make sure that you have the ability to purify water. And I would say wherever you can get it from, any of my competitors, Amazon, go to anywhere and buy water filtration. So I don't want anybody to say Griswold's trying to sell stuff. Buy it anywhere. Get it anyhow. Go on YouTube right now and learn how to make an earth filter with sand and different things. There's videos out there to do it. Turn the damned TV off. And that's what it is. It's damned. Turn it off and start learning how to do these things. Because I think it was General Mattis said that the most important part of the battlefield is the 6 inches in between your ears. You know, you need to train your mind right now. And again, to that lady, Teresa, and all the others out there that, you know, maybe widows that are looking and say, I don't have, you know, all I can say is that God will provide. He will send his angel to feed you if he needs. If you trust in him, he's going to work something out for you. And even in your death, you're going to be ushered into that celestial city. And so I just, again, have that faith. But yes, right now, we have a very, very short window because it's just not the disease. It's the cacophony of things that are coming up on this earth, and we need to plan for them. Pray tell, let's just say this disease is conquered, and for somehow humanity survives it. I can tell you that's not going to be the end of it. We're not going to be able to say, well, wow, I wasted all my money on that food supply. I wish I hadn't bought it. I wish I'd saved it. I've gone to my XYZ vacation somewhere. No, we're going to see more and more and more of this happen to this planet as birth pangs come upon this planet, as this earth rejects, it vomits out the pollution that evil men and women are perpetrating upon it, the child sex trafficking, the child blood drinking, the cannibalism, the perversion of God's plan in marriage and family, just the violence, the killing, the murder, the rape, as it vomits humanity out and we see these catastrophic events happening on this planet. Yes, we need to stand up and be bold. But again, we've told people for years, get ready. I've told people for years, get your ham radio license. Now, we're getting a flood of people wanting to buy ham radios right now. And, you know, I said, you don't know how to use them. I mean, you can try to learn how to use them. There's YouTube videos that show you how to use them. But, you know, if you started a year ago and had been practicing, you'd be pretty adept with it right now. So most people are behind the power curve. They didn't, the ones that didn't listen. I know I got many calls from people who said, thank God I got my ham radio license. I'm learning how to use this. You know, thank goodness I've got my ability to see at night. Thank goodness I've got my water filter. Whatever it is, you know, you did it. You know, I didn't need to rush to the department store. Steve didn't need to rush to the department store. You didn't need to rush to the department store because we prepared, not post-paired. After the disaster, trying to scurry and gather up what we can gather when all the other hungry souls are out there, we prepared because we were warned of God with holy fear. Get that word into your head. Holy fear. It's a good thing. Not all fear is bad. Holy fear is a good and righteous thing. Steve?
Well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and we're just stuck on terminal death watch when we reject the author and finisher of life. And I want to put something into perspective for the Christians who just think that you can deny the words of Jesus. Jesus said, there's never been a time like it, nor would be again. And if he didn't shorten the days for the elect's sake, that would be those who have accepted his offer of redemption, there'd be no flesh left alive. For those of you who think this is just going to go away, patty cake, baker's man, this is all fake, and you're just embracing it in a can. No, it's not fake. And again, I would say to those, do you really expect Jesus hating whatever religion they are professing, sects of Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, Islam, do you really expect them to accept the words of Jesus? Well, the problem is, I would expect the Christians to believe the words of Jesus. And beyond denial, you know, I'm not, I want to make it clear. If I were to write a book, I'd simply call it Beyond Denial. And the thing is that beyond denial is death. And the thing that I think people have got to know, and I think, Doug, this is what you're saying too, we're all saying the same thing. And that is simply this, there has never been nor will ever be a time like this that's upon us now. The thing is, people can deny the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Many do on talk radio. They can deny this. They can deny that. They can deny some even claim the book of Revelation's already been fulfilled, the preterist. But guess what? The lion isn't laying down with the wolf, or the wolf isn't laying down with the lamb. You know, some people want to argue about the, quote, Mandela effect. Well, let me share this with you. The idea is this. You don't need Nostradamus. You don't need Mother Shipton. You don't need anything. We've got the Word of God. The Bible says we have a more sure word of prophecy. But people don't want to accept prophecy because prophecy challenges the paradigm. There's the power statement for this day. Biblical prophecy challenges the paradigm of denial. And so some people just simply say, and I've really had people do this. I've talked to them, and when they get to the point where, well, what do you think, Steve? And I start talking, I've literally had them put their fingers in their ears and just sing a song. I've even had one of my critics say, when quail prays, God just puts his fingers in his ears and goes, la, 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 you blasphemous scumbag. And I mean that. I'm not pulling punches anymore. You know, Bob, here's the deal. I'd rather get someone at least alive, even if you got to get them mad first, to consider their ways, consider their end. And I, as a father and a grandfather, the idea of my grandchild coming to me and say, Grandpa, I'm hungry, or anything, just blows my mind. And I believe, and I'm praying for my brothers in Iraq and sisters in Iraq. I'm praying for the Christians in Iran and Syria still. I'm praying for the Chinese Christians. You guys have heard me pray. Do you really think I'm praying by the power of the devil? The Lord, literally, the Lord Jesus rebuke you. And here's the thing. We know in the scriptures, and some of you say, you give your critics too much time. They've taken 4.5 years of Doug's time and my time away from our lives. They've taken all this. God will restore it. I believe that. But the time to pray imprecatory prayer is now. And David said, I hate those that hate thee. I know Jesus said, love your enemies. I'm not talking about that. But we're in a war no longer against people. We're in a war against the unseen wickedness in heavenly places that's coming to this earth. And it is infusing with the most demonic, depraved appetites, the total marring destruction of God's image and likeness. You know what, Bob? I've yet to hear, maybe there are, a preacher preach, even those that are anti-abortion, that do you realize what they've done? They have destroyed God's heritage, and they also, ladies and gentlemen, have said, I hate God because I'm going to eat your image in that little child. I'm going to butcher that little child alive. And we didn't do anything. And I remember the Lord said, my people wouldn't stand up for those who would have fought for them. There will be no one to fight for them as the end approaches. And I tell you that. I tell you that. Who's going to come to your aid? America's become a hissing in the nostrils of the nations around us. America is the most pariah nation in the world. Our dollar can go up, and it will go up. Our stock market can go up and down like somebody who's in a hospital fighting for their life. And people say, well, as long as the stock market doesn't crash, we're okay. Yet you don't understand how many people are signing up for unemployment. You don't understand. Bob, I think the greatest revelation that if by the grace of God, if people would come to a, oh, thank you, Lord, moment, simply this. The pipeline is broken. We're already seeing no planes flying. We're already seeing, in Canada, no trains running. We're going to see no trucks running. And the only thing we're going to hear is people's mouths running. Well, when are we going to get back to normal? Bob, address this. How do you deal with that, well, pretty soon, you guys, we'll be all back to normal. And you guys, blah, 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 blah. Go hang yourselves. Go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, just look at it in perspective. For the last, you know, 100 years, things have dramatically changed. You know, if we look at it in that perspective, things have so changed. There has been no normal. The only generation of humanity that has lived in such changing times, you know, from when I was born till now, the world has completely changed. And it's changing now dramatically at quicker and quicker paces. So technology, AI, demonic forces, the collapse of morality. You mentioned people worried about the stock market, Steve. That it really disgusts me at times, and we think, oh, the country's doing good. The stock market's up. You know, I would say this. If our dollar, which it probably has, had collapsed as much as our national morality had, we would be bankrupt. I mean, because our national morality, anybody who can't look at it and say, get back to normal, does that mean we're going to honor the sanctity of marriage? Does that mean we're going to honor the sanctity of the unborn? Does that mean we're going to honor the truth? Does that mean we're going to honor God? Does that mean our schools are once again going to be allowed to teach about creation and about God? Is that what they're talking about? Or is normal what they're talking about, that they can go download their porn, that they can go watch all the violence they want to watch, that they can go and have all the titillation they want, wherever it is, of the perversion on TV or wherever. Is that, what are they talking about when they say normal? Because if I understand normal, I would say we are so far from it. I say we've been so far from it that I think it's, like you said, in the rearview mirror. What's your definition of normal? I mean, do we go back to abortion as normal? We go back to, you know, the violation of the marriage covenant as normal? We go back to just the breakup of the family as normal? Is that what you want? Do we go back and watch our sick, disgusting programs on TV as normal? We can go listen to our putrefied sermons at our putrefied church as normal? Well, Pastor talks about all the good little goody two shoes, skinny boy, soy boy type sermons. Is that, we want to go back to normal? I'm lost here, Steve. What do they mean when they say normal?
Well, you and I both know that they want all things remain the same. We know that from the illustration of the Word of God of Noah's day. They didn't pay attention to Noah. We know that obviously. Everybody that quotes the scripture where Abraham is with the angel Lord, I agree with you. I believe that was Jesus, a Christophany, a presence of Jesus. But they got him down to the point where the only ones left that fit the, if will you peradventure, Lord, will you spare Sodom? I think the problem is that, you know, Keith Green, before he passed away, had a song called So You Want to Go Back to Sodom. I think, ladies and gentlemen, what Bob just said should stick in your mind. There will be no normal because what used to be normal became perverted. And the last thing God's going to do, he even says he's going to make an utter end to it. I believe the United States is Mystery Babylon. I believe you need to listen to the words of President Trump, whether you like him or hate him, because he's talking about what's going to happen. You see, here's the deal. People always want a leader over God. It happened in Samuel's day. They had the prophet Samuel, but that wasn't good enough. They want to be like everybody else. Screw that. I don't want to be like everybody else. I want to be who the Lord Jesus Christ has called me to be, and I want you to be that way too. And see, the thing is again, Bob, I've quoted the 139th Psalm, more numerous than sand of the sea, so are God's thoughts towards us. That means they're infinite. And so at this point, ladies and gentlemen, history, you've got to decide, is it God's word or is it their word? The ultimate dictatorship will always demand the Christian's blood. And we're seeing that already. We're seeing the responses that if Christians tell people vaccines are bad, then they're going to be responsible for the pandemic. So you got to kill the Christians to kill the vector for whatever flu is out there, whatever biological agents out there, whatever disease is out there. They're already making that transition, are they not?
Absolutely. You know, Steve, I want the abnormal, because the abnormal is what the Bible's promoting right now. I want the sanctity of marriage again. I want families to stick together again. I want children to be raised in a loving household again. I want normal food again. I want good medicine again. I want proper education again. All those things are abnormal today. They're not normal. You don't see any of that anywhere. It's all abnormal. So I would call back for what the modern present age would call abnormal. I want the abnormal back, because that's how they look at it. They look at it, you know, in the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. You know, there's the one demon, I forgot his name, and then there's the little nephew demon, and the uncle demon's teaching the nephew demon how to tempt and destroy Christians by teaching them how devils and demons enter people's lives and, you know, confuse them and confound them and make them think things that aren't true. And so what we see today of what people are saying they want normal are all the things that Satan promotes. You know, the TV preachers, you can have your best life now. You can enjoy it now. You can have this. God wants you to have that. I mean, I think of a preacher who's 80 years old and he's got about $1 billion. I mean, he's approaching death and he's still groveling for more money. I mean, that's not normal according to the scripture. It's not normal according to the scripture to murder babies. It's not normal, according to the scripture, to have anything that a man-wife union for life. Those are the things that God wants to restore. And in his judgments, you know, if you're his elect, if you're one of his right now, you know, I would say, Lord, bring me back to your normal. Not the normal that the world gives, not the normal that this world promotes. I got to have a big 401k. I got to have a nice retirement program. I have to have this. You know, I want to have all my ducks in order. Everything's about me. I want to make sure my plans, my goals, all these, I can achieve them. No, the normal is I fall at God's feet and say, Lord, here am I. Use me as Isaiah did. I'm in the midst of a people, unclean land. And we are. We're in an unclean land. And Lord, take the coal from the altar of God and put it on my tongue that I would preach the abnormal to the world, because hearing the gospel is abnormal to them. The Bible says it's foolishness to those who are perishing. It's like these are a bunch of fools, because the gospel is to those who are perishing fools, to those who promote baby murder, for those who promote the destruction of the sanctity of marriage, for those who corrupt the food, for those who corrupt medicine, for those who corrupt education. What we teach is foolishness. And they think, oh gosh, we got to kill those people. Look at how foolish they are. But we're the ones that will stand before the throne one day. And it says Jesus himself will come and serve us at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it says they will come and bow down before us and acknowledge how much the Father has loved us. They're not worshiping us, but they're going to come and kneel and say, you are loved by your Father, and we will be sent off to destruction. You know, and I would say to those who hear this voice right now, you know, I plead with you, come to your senses, come to reason. That's what the scripture says. The Lord, the God of all heaven, the one who's only righteous, only holy, only pure, says, come, let us reason together. And though your sins be as scarlet, you know, you have a dark black heart, you've done the deeds of Satan. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. And I will make your sins white. I will purify you as white as wool. That is the normal. That's the normal I want to seek. And that's the normal I plead with you. Not normal that your 401k is recovered. Not normal that you can go back and have your, you know, cookie cutter life, go to work 8 hours, you know, go home and play 8 hours and go to bed and have 8 hours. You know, if that's the life you want, you're going to be extremely disappointed on that day you stand before the Messiah, the Ancient of Days. When you stand before him, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to suffer loss. But if you want that coal from the altar of God placed upon your tongue, that you become one who proclaims the coming king, the coming kingdom, that the lion is going to lay down with the lamb. If this burns within your bosom right now, if you feel this burning of the gospel, and you can cry out to the Lord and ask him, Lord, I want the normal. And the normal goes all the way back to Eden, before Adam and Eve sinned and rebelled, when they lived in perfect paradise. And that's what's coming. You know, Milton, paradise lost is paradise regained. We are going to regain paradise. For the preterists out there, I tell them two things. You know, those that were living in the millennial kingdom now, I said, well, first of all, let's go down to the zoo and I want you to jump in the lion cage and start playing with the thing. And then we'll go when that thing tears you up, and if you still have a shred of life left in you, I'll put you in a cage with a gaboon viper, you know, that's one of the big fangs, and let him just start playing with him, because that's what the scripture says. And then I say, oh, on top of that, Adam and Eve didn't wear clothes before they sinned. Why do you do wearing clothes? Are we still in the millennial kingdom? Take your clothes off, you know, walk around, you know. I mean, it's such an absurdity. I tell them, your theology is going to collapse under the weight of reality. You know, your bad theology is going to collapse under the weight of reality when they see what's coming. So, Steve, I would pray, as a Christian heart, as the person who has an understanding of the scripture, I want biblical normal. I want godly normal. My heart has passion and burns for the kingdom of God to be set up on this earth, and that mankind's dominion of this is taken away, that the wicked are removed from this planet and the righteous inherited. That's my desire, and that's what I want for normal.
Amen. And Doug, I want to say something to everybody on the Gen 6 conference. As you know, it's not going to be a live event. It's still on. It's going to be on May 15th through the 17th. It's going to be live streamed. Everybody will be doing their presentation. When you live stream, obviously pre-recorded programming from each of the speakers, you do it in real time. There'll be the DVD set. But I want to share everything. It's time to purchase your live streaming DVD access right now. And if you do, you're going to get the Trilogy of the True Legends. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, What's interesting is, again, the title of this year is Ancient Cataclysms and the Coming Catastrophes, Pre-Adamic Era and the Return of the Days of Noah. Go to the Septuagint, Isaiah 13:3. Behold, giants are coming to fulfill my wrath. I send them. God's sending them, and we're going to have so many speakers. And interestingly enough, you can just go on Gen6, G-E-N-S-I-X.com, and you get, like, you know, when you sign up for live streaming, you're getting like $60 or almost $70 worth of DVDs free. Bob, it's so critical. Doug, it's so critical that people understand what the days of Noah were like.
Absolutely.
It wasn't people rolling, you know, dice made out of alligator bones. You're talking about sophisticated entities corrupting humanity, that the only pure bloodline was Noah and his immediate family. God chose the animals that would come onto the ark. God brought them because he wouldn't even allow any polluted, and by the way, sexually polluted animals. And when you read all the stuff in history, I mean, the fallen angels were pretty perverse people, or not even people, entities. So, ladies and gentlemen, the True Legends Conference is on. The people already are forming. Bob will be a speaker. Dr. Michael Lake, Derek Gilbert, Carl Tykrib, you've heard him. L.A. Marzulli, Daniel Holding, Celeste Solem, Gary Wayne, I said Russ Dizdar, and Darren Geisinger. And there's also going to be a mystery speaker. I'll just give you that, and you'll love it. So here's the deal. I know in my heart this is the last one. I've told you that. The devil thought that there wouldn't be one, or he fought, F-O-U-G-H-T, that there wouldn't be one. God has made a way for us, as he always does. My dear friend Mary Juarez used to make a statement. Some, when you come up against an impossible situation, remember, God always has a ram in the bush. The Lord will prepare the sacrifice. The Lord will take care of it. I believe it's critical, everyone, that you understand this, that the cataclysms are on us. The catastrophes are on us. The pre-Adamic era and the return of the days of Noah. I'm not saying that. I mean, I'm saying that, of course, but Jesus said it, and I took it into the realm that God wants this information out badly. So go to gen6.com and sign up for live streaming. Again, there will be no live presentation. Too many people would be exposed, and I wouldn't allow that. You know, even had they not shut it down, I wouldn't have allowed it. One person comes in sick, everybody gets quarantined, and you don't want 2,000 Christians pretty much quarantined in one place. Besides that, there's not enough food coming into Branson, their supply chains, and then to Bob, this is cool, and then to solidify everything, I got a call from the management of the mansion just saying, you can't come here. The state of Missouri has shut us down. So we had made another plan. And so that plan is in effect. Those of you who already bought tickets to go, registered to go, you get free live streaming and you get free DVD set. We're trying to always do the right thing for everyone. But this is something that you've got to go on, gen6.com. And again, it's going to be May 15th through the 17th. Note that the day changes, and you can see all the conference details. And, you know, this is interesting because men's hearts are going to fail them for fear of looking after those things coming upon the earth. Just to give you a heads up, the Cascadia film that is now available on Vimeo, and by the way, I think they just showed up and we'll start shipping them out tomorrow and Monday. If I told you, and I've tried to, I've hinted, I've intimated, you don't send the most historically scientific fleet of aircraft flying multiple sorties day in and day out over the whole Cascadia region. Now it's, I think, up to 9,000 flights. If you even figured out what jet fuel costs for that, it'd boggle your mind. They know it's coming. You'll never know it's coming except God. He said he's going to reveal his secrets, and he doesn't want you destroyed. So please go on Vimeo and go on the and load it. I'm saying this for your sakes. If you live in California, Washington, Oregon, if you don't watch that, it's not because I made it, but if you don't watch it, your blood is on your own hands. And you've got to take up with the Lord Jesus what you're going to do. And I simply can't, here's my problem, Doug, and here's my problem, Bob. How do you tell people what they can't see? Jesus said, if I've told you earthly things, you believe me not, how can I tell you heavenly things? Mount St. Helens, I just put up on my picture of the day today, and today is whatever, the 26th. all the earthquakes that are happening now, they're clustering. They're clustering. It's getting ready to go. It's almost like the Lord has got his hand, his thumb on it. And when he takes his thumb off, can you imagine, given the virus, can you imagine what comes out of Washington, Oregon, and California in the way of produce and everything else? Can you imagine, ladies and gentlemen? And then imagine this, that whoever is left alive, and boy, I don't care if you believe this or not, whoever is left alive, go to my 1992 prophecy on the top of my page. Then they'll be hunted by the gangs of men. What Bob is trying to tell you very nicely is that any man that won't provide for his wife's safety, his daughter's safety, and his young men's safety. Hey, Sodom and Gomorrah wasn't, let's just say this, sexually corrupt. And Bob, you know, before I turn it over to you, even in San Francisco, they're celebrating their Sodom and Gomorrah affairs. I won't even do it. They're shaking their fist at God going, ha, 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 ha. When the earthquakes start, it'll start with a big one, 7.5.
See, that's normal. Today in America, that's normal.
Yep. And so when it starts, just let me say, I'll turn it right over. When it starts, you'll see a 7.5, maybe to 8. And it'll go on for one or two days, and people will just start clapping their hands. I literally saw them, they're all mocking. Ha, ha, that's all a bunch of you know what. And guess what? The big one comes, a 9.5, and it's called a full margin rupture. So, ladies and gentlemen, please go on my website, click on the volcano, the Cascadia, the big one, and watch it for your own life's sake or those who you love. Right there, it's for it. Go ahead, Bob. Thank you, Eric.
Well, again, what you just described, Steve, is the normal people want back. They want to have all those kind of gatherings and being able to go out and party and do what they want to do. And, you know, that's what they want is normal. I cannot drive that home enough. You know, Steve, I'll give you, like you said, people can't see it. Well, in some ways, they don't want to see it. You know, I go out with my night vision, and I've had people go out without it. And I put it on, and I can take my rifle, and I can hit a piece of steel 200 yards away with that night vision. Do you know why? Because I can see it. See, there's a spiritual night vision that God, or a spiritual vision that God gives people. And if you don't have it, you just sit there and go, I don't see that. It's not there. Nothing's happening. Look, it's just the same as it's always been. But you put that spiritual vision on, and all of a sudden you start seeing into that realm. Like night vision gives you the capability of seeing at night. And all of a sudden things start making sense. You know, the Gen 6 conference, I have to say, and Steve hasn't asked me to do this, it is probably the gathering of some of the best speakers that have been able to, shed light on these different realms that we face. You know, they've had that spiritual night vision to speak of. They can see into the dark realms. They can see into the heavenly realms because they're in tune with God. They're filled, men and women filled with the Holy Spirit. And like I said, just as night vision gives me the ability to go out at night and shoot that 8-inch piece of steel at 200 yards when everybody else is going, I don't see a thing. Nothing's out there. I can't see a thing. And then they put that night vision on and they go, oh my gosh, I see it all. They look up in the sky and they see thousands of stars they couldn't see before. And all of a sudden a whole new world is opened up to them. You know, God offers us that spiritual vision. You know, Paul had it when he was caught up into that third heaven and he said he saw things that were unspeakable. He couldn't even begin to use the words, human words, so failed at what he saw in that realm. You know, and God gives us that ability. Steve, I know you have. I've been those moments where I have been raptured in my soul up into the presence of God and just peace unspeakable. Love unspeakable. Well, I've never felt that. I've never had that sensation. You know, I've never known that. You have to take time and have the ability, have the Holy Spirit put that ability in you to see into that realm where that exists. And also, as warriors, we're warriors because we have an enemy, we can see into the dark domain of the enemy's camp and spoil him. That's what we're to do. Abraham went into the dark domain of those people that kidnapped Lot and spoiled them. So many times, you know, I think of the missionaries that went into Africa and spoiled the dark domain there and brought the gospel into remote parts of the earth where it had never been before. They had this spiritual vision. Men and women throughout the ages have had this spiritual vision. Well, all the others are standing around saying, I don't see a thing. God's not doing anything. Look at this. Just like, oh, I want normal. I want normal. But at the same time, those that know their God will do exploits, it says, because we will have that second sight that we get by the Holy Spirit. We can see into the realm, the spiritual realms, as Paul did and others have done. Peter and James were caught up into it, and the glory came down, and they saw, and they said, Lord, I want to be here. Stay here. Because it is such a thing that is promised to us. But for the average believer today, the church doesn't talk about this. You know, they talk about, you know, just their motivational speaking topics, you know, your best life now, this, your little midlife crisis, whatever they want to talk about. But it's not this, that we're at war, that we have a king who has bestowed upon us the weapons of warfare, a sword, a shield, a helmet, you know, all these, we have a breastplate, armor. And, you know, we have all these implements. That's not even talked about. That's not normal. Is that, you know, the normal thing is to talk about those things. But the Christians today, they don't have an understanding of the end of this age. They don't have an understanding that we're in a spiritual battle. I mean, when you have to tell people there's a real spiritual battle out there and they go, what? Huh? Huh? I thought it was just like bad people doing bad things to other bad, you know. No, there's spiritual entities that are driving this, that are driving humanity to this insanity that we murder, kill, rape, and plunder each other. And instead of being one that has that ability to say, listen, I see into this kingdom. I see into the kingdom of the dark domain. I see into the kingdom as Stephen did when he was dying. He saw the Lord Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. And when we see those things, when we have an understanding of those things, you will never want the world's normal again. And I say this, if you crave normal, what the world says is normal, you've never seen into those things. You don't have that spiritual vision. You don't have that spiritual night vision like the night vision gives you at night. You can't see into that realm because you would never want normal if you did. Steve?
The word normal is dead. You heard me say that at Branson. It would never be used again. And I get, Bob, literal emails, just looking at one a minute ago, saying, I want everything to go back to normal. The things that were abnormal. And I like what you said, because listen, the perfect man is Jesus. And he is the one whom we're striving to be like. We can't come to it in our own power, but to as many as received him, the Lord Jesus Christ, God gives us the power to be the sons of God, and he likens us to his son. Jesus is the standard. But when the pulpits are ashamed of Jesus, if anybody is going to a church, fellowship, whatever you call it, happy love fest, you know, and a jellyfishian gathering, you know, where basically there are no spines and everybody floats with the current. Let me share this with everybody now. It's the Lord himself who's going to divide between the sheep and the goats. And you better get right with the great shepherd if you want to be a sheep. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the goats will promise you everything and deliver nothing. You may have the glimmer, you may have the shine, but just like Las Vegas, it's their judgment time. And if you're seeing all of these places, Hollywood, okay, as you've known it, is dead, it's over. And all I'm telling you point blank is the next thing that's going to happen in this country, big time, is that plague of darkness with the volcanic ash going off, with all of the manipulation of the upper atmosphere, with the cosmic rays. We're going to see light being bent, and you won't see a normal thing. The heaviness of darkness is already falling on people. And when we don't stand against the darkness with the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what we get. Your best life now, that's a lie. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Your best life is in that purpose and place, as Paul said, that he might comprehend the reason that God apprehended him. Look, I don't know why God saved me. I'm sure that he has his own reasons, but I've said a lot of times, I said, Lord, you know, Jesus said we're his friends, and we all get the better part of that friendship. And so it was interesting to me to see, Doug, that just, you know, you and I and Bob, but you and I on talk radio together for this length of time have seen some amazing people. And those amazing people have been so, how should I say this, wonderful to us. They've taken up the cause. They've stood with us. And again, ladies and gentlemen, I have made this statement. Those of you who have prayed for Doug and for me and for us and for Bob and for those who are out there talking about this stuff, we owe you a debt of love. And that's why when we come before the King, you know, and he says to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And we look and we turn and we say, Lord, thank you for those you, and I'm talking about not turning away from Jesus, but turning to the left and turning to the right, keeping our eyes on him, saying, Lord, thank you for these intercessors. Thank you for these prayer warriors, because God, the odds against me were impossible. The odds against Doug were impossible. But God, you don't deal with odds. You deal with miracles. And Bob, that's a tragedy. The church is powerless. It has lost its miraculous calling. Paul said when he came to us, it wasn't with the enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the demonstration, the power of the Spirit thereof. So, ladies and gentlemen, the church is going to turn on any follower of Jesus. It's going to happen. And when I say the church, I'm not talking about the Catholic Church or the war between the Catholics and the Protestants. It's the war that the devil will do everything to keep people in their blindness and in their deception so he can destroy. Deception always leads to destruction. So I think it's critical, Doug, that people understand the lateness of the hour, and it will soon be thrust upon them. You know, Bob, I'm on record as saying God is going to bring the United States to a standstill. That's in addition to that prophecy, too. And I said that for 25 years. And I'm only saying this, ladies and gentlemen, you'd either have to be crazier than, you know, I mean, like somebody drinking LSD by the gallon, or you'd have to be called. Because why would anybody do that except God called them? Or there's a lot of LSD, and I don't do drugs. So I think it's critical, because Paul wanted, above all things, as all those types, they wanted to present the followers that they had won to Jesus Christ before the Lord as a love offering. It wasn't for ego. It wasn't for pomp. It wasn't for splendor. It was because their love for Jesus was so great, they wanted to present the trophies of your lives to Jesus Christ. Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. All of those of you who have listened to this broadcast and listened to these broadcasts that Doug and I have done together over the years, decades, do you understand? We were attempting, sometimes failing, but sometimes succeeding, to basically bring you to the knowledge that in these days you can stand. And Bob, you know, I quote the scripture to myself, take heed lest when I think I stand, I fall. And my prayer, ladies and gentlemen, you can copy it. It's free. It's just this, Lord, I have no power to stand in my own strength. I have no power to.
No, dead air is always good. Yeah. What's that? All right. Apparently there is an internet issue. Again, big surprise. Now, of course, you know, these things do happen. So, nonetheless, Bob Griswold from Ready Made Resources spent some time with us. And I'm telling you something. He said a number of things as well as Steve, but, together you talk about the force multipliers, you know, just to recap what was said initially, Bob Griswold talking about the bulletproof mind and the importance of that mindset. And of course, I'll have links in the program description box at Hagman Report Live. The fact that, people had been waiting or are waiting perhaps for, you know, a gathering in the clouds, a rapture, to avoid being victimized by what lies ahead, what exists ahead, of course, or the danger is there. If they are wrong, then, you know, how many people could, for example, lose their faith? In fact, not just lose it, but turn on their faith, their own faith. That's an issue. Something that I've been saying, and I think it's an evident theme has been a theme throughout this conversation, is that I think we have to think, all of us have to think bigger. You know, God is in control. God has this. God's got this. And I think that it's apparent that it's apparent to me, and I'm sure most of you, that we've got to turn over any fear that we have, any concern that we have. We've got to, you know, look, we've got to prepare like our lives and the lives of the people we take care of it depend on it. But the results, like everything else, they're up to God. All right. So, I see a lot on different forums, people talking about what's taking place in the United States and throughout the West today. What seems to be missing is that spiritual aspect of things. Now, some will bring it up, and of course, you know, there's this attitude against it. But if you look at what, and Steve said it too, and by the way, interrupt me anytime, Eric. I'm just kind of recapping and going through here what, okay. Did people hear that? That's all right. Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Apparently, something happened here, locally. I just want to just say this. Something happened here locally where we've got no way to reconnect with our guests. So, all right. So just to kind of wrap up, Steve and Bob, you know, we have to think bigger. Something Bob said too, and I'm paraphrasing here, if the dollar had crashed as much as our morality, maybe more people would be paying attention, or maybe things would be looked at differently. And then there was a time in there when, in fact, I'm going to isolate that, when Bob Griswold was talking about what normal is, what biblical normal is versus what we have today, which is a perversion of all things normal. And let's see here. There is no normal. What was normal, what's been considered normal, has been perverted. And there's a reference, of course, to U.S.'s Mystery Babylon. And I found it equally interesting, too. Both Steve and Bob said people always want a leader over God. And that's what I see happening here. And I think you guys do, too, right? And women do, too. I didn't mean that. But, you know, I think people are looking for a leader over the spiritual guidance that we all need. A couple of things I just want to point to. And I want to thank, again, everyone who has sent emails. studio@hagmanreport.com is the email address. I want to thank people who have sent emails about their observations and about their suspicions and about their research product, the research that they've done. I want to thank them. Thank you folks for doing that. I've learned a lot. In fact, I've got a conference table full of emails with information. And what I like to do is I like to look for patterns and see if I can identify patterns and connect the dots. But just to kind of reaffirm everything here, I started off hot under the collar, perhaps. I started off angry, and to some extent, I still am angry, because I go back to what I experienced late last night and the helplessness, the desperation, in my view, the victimization of this one woman. And you know, I don't know. To see that person saying, I don't know what to do. And yes, I feel helpless. That really got to me. It really got to me. And it got to me because people have mocked not just us, but everyone for saying, prepare for such a time as this. And, you know, I don't know. And by the way, we took care of her, and we will be taking care of her. And because that's what we should do with others. And I know many of you are probably doing 10 times what I just mentioned, or maybe with many other people. But the fact of the matter is, we're in different times right now. And I think if you're looking for a situation, this is just my view, kind of my wrap up. If you're looking for this to end well, you okay, lady? Lady the office dog sleeping under my desk. She just, grunted there. But if you're looking for a rapid end to what we're seeing take place, I don't think, even if the virus itself, that's the subject of all of this chaos, even if it just went away, the lasting effects, the trauma, the psychological trauma, and I would not dismiss or understate the psychological trauma of what many people have experienced over the last, 3 weeks, 2 weeks, whenever this real panic began. It has already, in my view, changed America. Now, in some cases, it's brought out the best in people. I'm telling you, I look at some things I've seen, and I see people rising to the occasion. I mean, you hear stories and you read stories about young people, children even, doing things to, make a difference, attempt to make a difference. And you see people going out of their way to help other people. And that's what we need to do. We need to stick together. And that to me is what Christianity, that's what my faith is all about. Not doing it for my pleasure, but to help others. Because I think to me, that's what God wants me and all of us to do. But we also, at the same time, and I'd mentioned this earlier in the week, one of the things that we also have to do is not just acknowledge God and pray to God, but to repent, to repent for our sins individually and collectively. I mean, think about this. You see statistics perhaps on your television set or on your computer screen about the number of coronavirus, COVID-19, Chinese Communist Party virus, whatever, the deaths. You see the numbers every night, the numbers, new infections, and then new death toll. Well, can we not apply that, and should we not apply that to the abortion mills, the baby-killing mills here across the United States? Oh, and since when has abortion become an essential service, or the killing of the unborn? That really gets to me, too. I don't know how anyone can rationalize that. While we mourn and we are concerned over, I don't know, I'm tossing a number out, 237 deaths, we'll say, in one region from the coronavirus. What about the 3,000 unborn that have been murdered? Where is the concern over that loss of life? By the way, folks, I'm sure you've seen this. Kathy Griffin, of course, in the hospital, claiming that she can't get a test despite unbearably painful symptoms. This is another thing I'm watching. I'm watching the interesting things play out with respect to celebrities and people, well-known people. All right. Now, some people have theories about that. That aside, it's just interesting to see. It's just interesting to see people's reactions. And Seth Meyers, by the way, speaking of well-known names, sociopath Trump cares more for his personal fortunes than saving lives. I don't know how many people saw that, who care to watch that, and you might think, well, who really cares about what Seth Meyers thinks? And that's not the point. The point is many people listen to that and they watch that and they spread that. It's not about any one person. It's not about any one celebrity. It's not about any, no, I guess what I'm trying to say, what this is about is this is about the collective, okay, the people who have this visceral hatred of our way of life, the way of life, America, and Dr. Proctor and I spoke about this yesterday. I mean, our country, founded as a Christian nation, regardless of what others may think and say, and regardless of the, oh, well, you know, the founding fathers were this or that. Oh, man, just study, do your research. But we were founded upon Christian beliefs and principles. And to see the visceral hatred by these so-called celebrities, by these people who are entertainers, it's just absolutely disgusting. And I think that we, you know, at some point in time, there's going to be a clash, not just a clash of ideologies, but a clash driven by those ideologies. By the way, where did I see this? And I wanted to bring this out here. Obviously, we expected this, where U.S. unemployment claims surged to a record 3.28 million. That was posted earlier today. They can trace those claims and the business shutdowns, or due to business shutdowns caused by this virus. All right. Again, when I began talking about this weeks ago, and or when we started digging deep into this, the scars that will be left by this, in my belief, the psychological trauma, the physical, the actual real damage done to our economy. Not to minimize the loss of life here. I don't want to do that. But what I'm saying is the loss of what we once had, I don't think we'll ever get back the things that we lost. That's my view. That's, again, this is something that when you look at this, you've got to take, well, you've got to think bigger. We all have to think bigger. So many things right now taking place all at once. And as Steve mentioned too about the earth changes, Stan Dale talked about the earth changes, about Cascadia. I'm telling you, you know, all of the locusts. I mean, think about this. Just from my investigative perspective, and I talk about this because that's the only mindset really I can kind of process information through. And whatever your profession is, you might have a different perspective or method to process information. What you see, what you don't see, kind of taking everything in and letting it kind of soak in there and you process, because there is a process time. I've learned this through years of experience that, you know, if you see something and you take a look at, in my case, okay, again, using my example, you look at a crime scene, there's things that are very, very obvious. There are things that, you know, you can pick out right away. But you also have to allow for some soak time. You've got to kind of look at it and look away and then look back at it again. This is the same way. There is, to me, there is a need to have that soak time, to understand that what is happening today is going to change our way of life forever. I was reading where lesbian mayor of Chicago, and yes, there's a reason why I classified her as that. Let me just get to it here, where she's saying, look, we're going to arrest people if you don't comply with our shutdown orders. Let me just, I think maybe Alex Jones had mentioned something about this. Okay. This is out of CBS Chicago, Channel 2, out of Chicago, Beck Lightfoot. on a stay-at-home order. Citations to be issued. Parks could be shut down. Now, obviously, the CBS article says that visibly frustrated with reports of gatherings throughout Chicago, Mayor Lori Lightfoot. Now, this is the lesbian, black lesbian Mayor Lori Lightfoot. She delivered a stern warning to those who continue to get together during the COVID-19 pandemic. We will shut it down and you may be arrested. All right. Now think about this and think about Chicago itself. How many deaths from gun violence? Oh, and by the way, you can't own a gun. No, no, you can't get a gun. There's so much more going on. There is so much more that we have to really process. Folks, out of time. God bless. HagmanReportLive.com, HagmanReport.com, HagmanStore.com. Until next time, God bless.